Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
She just wants to be beautiful, she goes. Unnoticed, she knows no limits. She craves attention, she praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. As cover girls don't cry to the face it made, but there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are, and you don't have to change a thing. The world could change its heart. No scars, see, you're beautiful with stars, and we're beautiful. Girls eat nothing, she says. Beauty is pain and there's beauty in everything. What's a little bit longer? I can go a little while longer. She fades away, she don't see her perfect. She don't understand, she's worth it. All that beauty goes deeper than the surface. Oh, oh. So to all the girls that's hurting, let me be your mirror. Help you see a little bit clearer. The light that shines within.
There's a hope that's
love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Your biggest challenge isn't someone else. It's the ache in your lungs and the burning in your legs. And the voice inside you that yells, can't. But you don't listen. You just push harder. And then you hear the voice whisper, can. And you discover that the person you thought you were is no match for the one you really are.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right. It is so nice to have you with us, Keisha McAllister from California.
Hey,
good morning
hey.
To you. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. I am so excited. I always love having Hair Talk here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with our favorite hairstylist extraordinaire, Ms. Keisha McAllister. Listen, I want to kind of jump on in on this. You know, it's really, I go back and forth because you guys know, we have a lot of folks that we talk to here on the show mm-hmm. who are great cosmetologists and hairstylists from every part of the spectrum of hair care. And we kind of got into an off-the-mic convo, a conversation on this topic, and I said, I'm going to talk to Keisha about it on the air. So here's the thing. A lot of folks rely now on social media. It has infiltrated our lives and our lives. And I use that word infiltrate because that's what I kind of feel it has. But that's me personally. So I don't want to influence, our folks out there. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about that because it dawned on me. I said, well, has social media replaced the hairstylist? Whether wherever you are on the spectrum of hair, and I really mean that, has it replaced, there's a lot of folks out there who call it, the university now for the cosmetologists and the natural hair folks, everybody's on kind of doing it themselves. So the do it yourself, of course, we call it the DIY. So the DIYers. Are leading the way on this, so to speak. So, Keisha, first let me again welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show today.
Thank you.
Talk about this. You're welcome. Now, how do you feel about this topic?
Well, you know, Carrie, I think we just need to be honest about the DIYers. There will always be those people who do their own hair, especially families that have a lot of sisters or, just a lot of women in the family, they will usually generationally do each other's hair. So we just have to be honest about that. And then you have people who may visit the salon maybe once or twice a year and then will go back home and work against what the stylist has done to try to repair what they're doing at home. So I think we just need to be honest about the state of affairs. We will always need the professional beautician, always. But we can also encourage the DIYers to come in at least once a month. Every 6 weeks, where they will actually begin to trust you more and more and will come and sit in your chair. And then the next thing you know, they're yours. And
explain that a little bit, Keisha. When you said the DIYers to come in, what exactly come in? How talk to us about that a little bit more.
Well, when I say come in, I usually get an at-home stylist to come in when there is a major repair needed. Either they've burnt their hair out, what I call a chemical cut, meaning either they've colored their hair with the wrong product, they've put a relaxer in their hair with the wrong product or on the top of the wrong product, and now they've got a hole in the fro. That's what I call it, a hole in your fro, because you're at home really just fixing on your hair. And so they'll ask around to some of their, work colleagues and things like that. And now that the Internet has really boosted a lot of stylists and salons, they'll look on the different apps to find
a local stylist. And they'll read the reviews and things like that, and then they will in turn try that stylist. And as a stylist, it is our responsibility to do our thing, which is educate that person. You gain their trust because you're supposed to be good at what you do and confident at what you do. But also be realistic, understanding that you may see this person maybe every 6 weeks, maybe every 6 months. But when they come back, you know that they trust you. And I think we also have to be honest about how they are wooed by the videos online. Oh, her hair looks like mine. Oh, I'm going to try that with my hair. And a lot of times it goes wrong, whether it is a natural style or a hair color or a relaxer or, you know, it's so many different things or whatever, because they don't understand the nature of hair, the texture of their hair. You know, just because it looks a certain way doesn't mean that it's going to react or respond a certain way.
Exactly.
And, you know, the thing about our texture in our community or in our culture is that it looks like it's very, very strong, and that it will not behave when you do your thing, you know, when you condition it, when you press it, when you, you know, all you think that it won't. But a lot of times it just takes training. It takes understanding what your hair can do. But you got to talk to a professional. You're not going to always get that from, you have to talk to the professional.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that's something that I want to jump in with, because, first of all, I loved how you referred to this, to those who are you know, we call the DIYers. it sounds like they're like, you know, a whole group of, you know, out of space people, the DIYers, you know. I kind of prefer the reference that you made when you called them at-home stylists. And that's kind of nice, because there are a few different tranches now. It's not just like before, you know, prior to the technology boom. So I kind of like what you said, and I think that and I certainly agree, and I totally agree about the part where, you know, these folks need to come in, and oftentimes you're there to kind of rescue when something's gone awry.
Yes.
Because of the lack of education and knowledge. Hence, that's why we created the Traction Alopecia Foundation in part. So I love that, and I think that that's a very good point that you made. I'm also looking at the fact, on the other hand, where you have the clients who have been relying. This is where I think it can be complicated, where the clients are solely relying on what they uncover on not just social media, but particularly on the you know, on say something like the YouTube platform. And this is you know, this is a big thing, because I've seen it where it says, you know, the YouTube is not cosmetology school. I've seen others you know, that just remind us that there's a lot more to it than, like you just said, on what it looks like and what you think you can just easily follow and do. And then you don't know whom to trust when you're just looking at a 30-second or 45-second clip, pardon the pun there, a clip on hair care. So you've got to, you know, I remember writing, I wrote an article for the New York Daily Challenge newspaper. This was back in, like, the early 2000s. And I remember, and back then they used to have the different rooms, chat rooms, and everybody was going into chat rooms and talking on chat rooms through AOL and all of that stuff. And I was, I'm going back. I'm going back. So you young kids will not know what we're talking about here.
At all.
But I remember that. And I remember that on my article, it was literally called, Should You Trust Your Hair Care to the Internet? That was the article I written. And you can find it. I actually have it still posted on my Instagram at Heinz Care. So you'll find it there. It's one of the, you know, it's, you might have to look back a little bit, but you'll see it there. And the whole subject was just that. Back in those days, the public, the non-pros, the enthusiasts, if you will, Ms. Keisha McAllister, the folks who were the enthusiasts were out there, and they were reluctant to listen to hair care on the internet. Through the chat room and all that. That was the early days of the internet. And I'm blown away, scan ahead, you know, a couple decades later, and we are talking about the DIYers. That's actually a thing. And it's also a thing to put our reliance onto YouTube, you know, and again, I want to echo what you said. There is a true paucity, a shortage when it comes to the knowledge that one needs, and which is why cosmetology is regulated and natural hair in many places is regulated, because you need to know more than just what someone's pretty look might be on YouTube. So that's how I weigh in on this, Ms. Keisha McAllister. And just wanted to remind everybody, if you guys out there, if you just joined us, if you're just tuning in, I'm Carrie Hines. I'm with Keisha McAllister. And our topic today on the hair side, yes, it's all about looking at social media, the DIYers. Where are we going in the hair industry? Are we happy? Do we? Because I'm also concerned that now, for whatever reason, and it could even be tied to the economy, it could be tied to many things, where you now have folks who are totally reliant, 100% on YouTube for their hair care. Now, how do you feel about that, Keisha McAllister from California?
Well, you know, Carrie Hines over there on the East
from
Coast.
Brooklyn, New York, right?
Brooklyn in the house.
Yeah.
The thing about that is that it's a part of this generation. This entire 30, just these last 30 years, you know, started off as an information superhighway. And now it is nothing but everything's online. And now everything is down to an app. So for people who are solely relying on the internet, these are the same people a generation ago, their aunties went and got the hair magazine out of the grocery store when they bought their box of relaxer. And they got ideas. And I remember when my auntie used to do her relaxer and then paint on some color.
Wow.
And it, when I think about it, it didn't look like much, but it meant a lot for, like, the church she was going to, the type, you know, the way she was seen. So I think the internet has helped people take chances. You know, the at-home stylists take chances. I don't know that it has helped them understand, but what I think that it's also done is help them to embrace their beauty wherever, at whatever level they see it. Because now I see somebody else who looks like me. Even if her hair doesn't match mine, there's a lot more where I...
Yeah.
That's the good thing of it, but the bad part about it is, like I said, folks walking around with holes in their fro. And we went from a generation who were where everybody lost their edges and things like that from braiders. And now we got people who are snatching wigs off because they following whatever stylist online. And so it is still very important that the private client or the at-home stylist still go in, find someone that you trust and visit them regularly. We not, you know, I tell people all the time, I'll check on even some of my old clients that I haven't seen in a while, and I'll start the text, hey, I'm just checking on you. I'm not trying to get you in my chair. You know, I'm just, you know, seeing that, you know, are you okay? And
how do they respond to that, though? Because that's something you're not going to get on social media, folks. But how do you feel about that? How do your clients respond to that? And when you do reach out like that, Keisha, I know
right,
that.
Right, because you can't really do it social media. I mean, you can, but you can't. And
right.
But I get good responses. Hey, I was just thinking about you, that, you know. And then the next thing you know, I had just been thinking about you. I know you didn't call for that. Or I know you didn't send that, but I need to come. I've been meaning to come in and see you. Oh, I saw something that you posted the other day that I've been meaning to call you. And so it all kind of connects. It really does if you are a stylist or a hairdresser that's paying attention. And I'll just go, you know, kind of go deeper into that. I think there's still a difference between the stylist and the hairdresser. There's a commonality that you have when you have your hairdresser. That's someone who knows you, you know, because we have clients who come in, first thing they walk in the door, they are telling you what has happened from the time that you saw their last appointment. Whereas being a stylist, you know, you almost have like, you know, it's not that you don't have a full schedule as a hairdresser, but you're able, they're walk in, walk out, and there's there's no real personability that you can gain. Now, you can get them through social media, you know, but you still have to create the relationship, and that is, you have to figure out how to connect with people, and you can't dig in their pockets to get them. You have to just be, you know, be yourself. You know, they need to know that you're not tripping off of them, you know, sitting in there in your chair or not. You're concerned about their hair because that's what you do. That's what we do. So,
Go ahead, Keisha. What were you going to say?
No. So I was just saying that's what we have to remember, even as stylists in dealing with people in this social media world or this atmosphere that we have. You have to adjust in order to succeed, and you have to adjust in order to get a group of people who are not really trusting of outsiders when it comes to their hair or when it comes to their grooming, their eyebrows, their nail, you know. It just takes a while to get those people, but you can pull them in.
Yes. Well, I love this. I love this conversation today. Again, if you're just kind of joining us here, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines out of Brooklyn, New York. And, Keisha, now you are in California. Folks may wonder, what, tell us again, because I know you're equidistant out there near, between, what points are you, you know, and what cities are you in between, and give us the whole breakdown and rundown on that again, Keisha McAllister.
Okay, Carrie Hines. I am in betwixt and in between Sacramento and San Francisco. I'm 45 minutes from each city. I am in a town called Fairfield.
Fairfield.
Beauty suite here in Fairfield. And I've, we've got a lot of rain today. lots of rain today.
But did you just say you consider it like a beauty suite? Is that what you call the locale?
My locale, yes, it is a beauty suite. I am inside of an office building.
Wow. Now, see, when I spoke with you way back when about this, I love the idea of having like a suite, and we talked about that where we didn't have them so much. They were kind of regional in different spots around the country, more so more prevalent in certain places as opposed to like where I'm here on the East Coast in the Northeast. So real interesting. Okay, I'll take that. Now, I do want to say this on what you just mentioned. I think that's fantastic. When I, you know, heard you were in the building, I said, well, that's great, because to me that's an endless list of clientele. You will always have a clientele from that. I think a lot of it has to do with location, location, and location. So good stuff. Okay, so back to this topic today.
Okay.
And now, talking about social media, talking about YouTube University for hairstylists. client. Okay. We are talking about this whole topic. Is it good for the clients at all to look at YouTube and get ideas? Is there a way that can actually use the YouTube or social media in general and get ideas and get inspiration and then consult with their hairstylist? Is that the proper way to look at it? What do you say about that, Keisha?
You know what, Carrie? That's actually what I have my clients to do, because I already know they're going to look at the video, you know?
Yeah.
So let's just get over that. Get over that. And if they've tried it at home, get over that part too. So I usually, and you know which clients are which when they, you know, when there are a few in particular, I'm like, okay, when this one hits me up, oh, I know I'm about to do an updo. So I instantly say, okay, do we have a video? Do you have a picture? Send it to me. So it's very helpful, you know, because I could at least see what it is that they're trying to achieve. And then I can say, oh, no. You know, I'm like, no, I don't do that work. Or I can say, no, your hair is not going to do that. Or it's not. Or you need to, you know, do it another way, because it'll be too harsh for your hair. So that's why people really need to have a stylist that they trust, a hairdresser that they trust, someone who can help them achieve certain goals, especially if they are an at-home stylist or a kitchen beautician.
Yeah. And they still say that to people out there. Yeah.
They do. And I was one, so I'm not knocking anyone who's done that. I did it, you know. You got to get it. It's time to get it together.
It is. And what do you say to those stylists who some may feel that the social media and YouTube is hurting the industry? But it doesn't sound like that's the case. Is that what would you say?
You know what? It's not the case. It's not the case. It's not hurting the industry. If anything, it's really leading a lot of people to the shop or the salon because they are trying things at home and it's going wrong.
Oh.
And they need someone. Yeah, they need someone to help them regrow their hair, you know,
help
them do it safely without throwing some braids back in it or putting too much tension on it.
Okay, well, there's nothing against braids, but folks, this is a good point, what you should say. Yeah, this is a very good point. So that's the thing about the social media. And I like what you said as well and talking about just, you know, if you use it for inspiration, not necessarily education. I think that's where there is an issue, and that's something that we will continue to address here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, and why there is a need for TAF, my Traction Alopecia Foundation, and you can find out all about that. It's right at my website, CarrieHinesHairCare.com, or just even Carapy.com, Kerapy. .com. And of course, if you're part of our online community, you can go to www.hairadio.com. Again, that's pronounced Hair Radio. It just has one R in the middle. And sign up. You can become a member. Click on the members tab. there and sign up. It's free. And we have a whole several different group pages that you can follow and friend other folks and all that wonderful good stuff right there. So we would encourage you to do that. Now, Keisha McAllister, this conversation has to continue. I think it will. And before we go on this, I wanted to just ask you about the future of the industry. And that's why I kind of like what you said about that. I agree. I don't think that the DIYs, I don't think using the YouTube and the social media outlets necessarily or platforms are destructive or will harm the industry per se. I think that it's in a way it kind of is helping to promulgate, to make even bigger and larger this wonderful mm-hmm. industry that we so love. So so what are your closing thoughts on that whole topic?
Well, my thoughts are, I think as stylists, hairdressers, whichever you like to call yourself, I think we have to be honest of how we receive people. I think we have to also be honest about how we even comb and brush hair. Some of us are really, really heavy-handed out there, and it's pushing people away from the salon. So it really is about adjusting to succeed in this business. And I can honestly say I'm not concerned about the at-home stylists because I think they always end up in someone's chair, whether it's
at
for an idea. At some point, they always end up in someone's chair. But I think, as you said, this topic can go on for years and years.
Yeah.
But we need to be able, as stylists, to talk to people, to converse with people on every level, because these people are shy, they're anxious, you know, some have high expectations, you know. And the thing is, receive the people. Everybody's not going to be in your chair. And that's okay. And sometimes you don't want everybody in your chair.
Yeah, that's true.
Educate them a little bit while you get them there. And then when they go on, just say, hey, thanks for coming. And move on, because just like that one, there'll be more. This is a business that will never go out of style. Right under medicine is beauty. So,
well, this is true. And some places is on the same line.
Exactly.
I want to talk on that as well. And I think in some of our upcoming topics right here on the show, we're going to peel back the layers on this, because there's a lot we need to get into on this, which we're going to cover. So we're going to just kind of park it there on this episode at this time. But we're going to really keep this at the forefront in our minds, and we'll be revisiting it again soon. So, Keisha McAllister, it's so great to have you on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you. All the way from
out in sunny Northern California.
Join the Hair Radio online community. It's free to be a member. It's social media for the hair and beauty industry. Great space for entrepreneurs to meet new customers, network with new friends, upload pictures, make, like, read, and share posts about hair, beauty, and business, and more. Go to HRmember.com to sign up.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out this Hair Radio Show with Carrie
Crystal Jones Vaughn of the Sways Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Try your favorite scented candles at Divine Energy Luxury Candles. I'm Carrie Hines.
Divine Energy Luxury Candles create an unmatchable ambiance and can immediately enhance your mood. They offer an array of original scents made with coconut soy, hand-poured love. Fill your home and soothe your senses today. Order from DivineEnergyCandles.com.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair masks, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle, and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
They didn't know what you cared, and they treated you like you were common. And God wanted them to treat you that way because he wanted you to see who they were. Because nothing exposes character more than the way you treat people you don't think you need. If you knew what I carried and what God was doing, you'd latch on. But God said, I'm going to hide you in plain sight to show you who your real crew is and who the fake ones are.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is my honor to welcome back to our broadcast Mr. Jorge. And along with Jorge, we have Miss Naomi. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show.
Welcome.
So much.
Thank you so much, Carrie. How are you?
Awesome. I am doing great. Well, first, I want to kind of jump on in, and to all of our sharp-eared listeners, they kind of already know who you are, Jorge.
Mm-hmm.
You've been, yes, because you have been a part of the content and programming throughout our network, I should say. You're part of, and we have like a wonderful podcast that's available on 9 platforms, including Spotify and Apple. And they can find you right there. So when they're on listening to their favorite music, you've already informed a great deal of folks all about autism when they have listened to you on the podcast on Spotify, in addition to our archived content through the Hair Radio Morning Show. So we are just so honored. You did a great job. And so I just wanted to let you know that on behalf of all of us at the Hair Radio Morning Show, thank you for educating us on the subject of autism. Great job.
Thank you so much.
Now, today, we have a very special reason for bringing you back to this network and to our amazing show, and that is because you're not alone, like Michael Jackson sang. You are not alone. We have Miss Naomi. Miss Naomi, who is, I'm going to let you introduce Miss Naomi Jorge. Who is Naomi? Tell us all about Naomi Jorge.
Naomi, I guess you can say it in 3 simple words. I love you.
Wow. Okay. And so we're going to just expound on that a little bit. Naomi, if you haven't figured it out already, Naomi and Jorge are an amazing couple who I have the great honor and privilege to introduce you guys to on a much deeper level as well. And that is because Jorge himself has been considered autistic. And so today's focus is to see how you guys, and Naomi, you're a big part of this as well, how to see how you guys are kind of, you know, building and starting a brand new relationship with something like autism as the backdrop as well.
And so we're going to talk about all of that. But first, let's kind of at least tell the folks, just remind everybody, Jorge, on what your life is like with autism. We'll start there.
Yes, for sure, Kerry, for sure. I guess I can tell you autism.
And we're going to have you to speak up really well, Mr.
Yes, sir.
You speak up really well on there. Go right ahead.
I guess I can tell you guys that autism is a blessing, but a curse in disguise is a blessing. There's a lot of difficulties that I struggle with, but there's a lot of blessings and benefits that Naomi can have with autism. She can agree. But autism, on a day-to-day basis, I struggle socially. And as far as sensitivity, the noises, the volumes can be a lot more difficult to manage compared to you guys that hear six times lesser than we do.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, and you, go ahead. Did you have something else you wanted to add?
As far as relationships, day-to-day meeting people, and I guess it can be hard to communicate, especially when I'm overwhelmed, or it can be hard to understand what someone's feeling, judging by their looks. But it's usually things that I can deal with and I cope with, but I also know how to manage it enough to help me, you know, deal with life on a day-to-day basis, Curry.
Awesome. Well, let me just, as you guys know out there, we all have Google fingers. You know, we're all Google professors. So once I looked up autism, and online it says this, autism is a complex neurobehavioral disorder characterized by impairment in reciprocal social interaction, impairment in communication, and the presence of repetitive and stereotypic patterns of behaviors, interests, and activities. The
yes.
onset of symptoms is typically before the age of 3. The severity
yes.
of impairment in the given domains, as well as the pattern of impairments, varies from individual to individual. That is why diagnosticians refer to a spectrum of disability, and we've all heard that, ASD, autism spectral disorder. So now I want to turn over a little bit, and we're going to get a little bit more into this. And as I mentioned earlier at the top of this wonderful piece, is that we have an entire video that's out there. You can look and see Mr. Jorge. He's on camera with me as well, which is on our Salon TV Network app, as well as on our Salon TV channel, and then, of course, on Spotify with a podcast. Now, I've got to turn to, I'm getting ready to say, our very special guest today, Naomi, who this is her first time. You're making a debut on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So welcome and good morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm kind of nervous, but...
Oh, no. Don't be nervous. You are amongst friends. And we welcome you. And so, Naomi, and that's what I want to do. I want to start... Tell us a little bit about yourself.
A little bit of myself? Well,
yes.
I can describe myself as a loving person, first of
yes.
all. I love to be myself, and I also like to be the right, no matter what the society says. I
awesome.
Always like to be the right in this world.
Wonderful. Now, I have to say that the two of you are a couple. And,
yes.
Jorge, we are familiar with Jorge's challenges in being autistic. And,
mm-hmm.
Naomi, you are not. You are not autistic. So I want, what's your impression? What did you, when you guys met and you started to this amazing friendship, what went through your mind? Were you familiar with autism? Because I really, until I had a chance to meet Jorge and learn up close what this is all about, and I can again thank Mr. Jorge for that, you know, I was totally unknowing. So this whole thing is very important. It was a big part of my education, and we're helping a lot of listeners today with this as Jorge has kind of educated them along the way as well. So what went through your mind, Naomi?
Well, being honest,
Yes. Oh, sure. Be honest. Yes. We're not going to tell anybody on the show. It's just between us three today.
Being honest, when we just met, I like him as a friend because he always been a wonderful person, an excellent man. At first, I didn't know he was autistic because back in the time, I didn't really know what autistic looks like. I thought back in that moment, I thought autistic was, as many movie theater, they pointed out as more like mentally challenged. But he definitely, he is a wonderful man. So I learned what is autistic when I met him. When he told me, hey, I'm autistic, I'm like, are you serious? You're lying. You're lying. But he showed me actually it's true. He struggled socially, but definitely that's something that we can work on, because the key of our relationship is that it's just accepting to each other, accepting our strengths and also weaknesses. We need to accept our weaknesses in order to overcome and to achieve our goals also as a couple. So he needs to accept me as I am, and I also need to accept him as he is, as an autistic, wonderful person, I would say. So we also need to love each other. Doesn't matter if he's not perfect. He won't be perfect, as well as I won't be. I will never be perfect. But we can be perfect to each other, right, Georgie?
I agree.
You agree?
Wow.
So
I'm just, yes, please, go right ahead, Naomi.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
No, please.
So being honest, being with an autistic man as Georgie has been a blessing. Sometimes he might say it's not a blessing, it's like a curse. I don't really think so. It's just how we handle the things. Can be a curse depending if we don't know how to handle autism. If we know what it is, so we know how to handle it. Exactly. So we know how to handle it, and once we know, that can be a blessing, because what I love from Georgie is that he can lie to me. Literally, he can. He can, because he can. You cannot when he try to lie to you. He can. Sometimes he's trying to impress or do something or try to, I don't know, to lie, but you can tell by his eyes that he's lying. And he, at the end, even if I don't notice, he says, like, oh, I'm sorry, Naomi, I lied to you. I'm like, okay. He's really honest.
5 seconds later, after telling him something, babe, I lied.
Yeah, because he gets totally, like, uncomfortable with himself. He cannot, he can't be an actor when he's lying.
Yes.
So he gets really uncomfortable with himself, and you can notice. So you start asking him, hey, Georgie, there is something wrong. And then he's like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Naomi, I lied to you. And I said, I'm not as young as baby, I know.
So to interrupt, I'm going to tell you the truth. So we were, like, a couple of weeks back, we were laughing about it. I said, Naomi, I'm going to be honest. If I ever have staples, if I come home from work with staples in my eyes, you got to know that I cheated on you.
Oh.
But definitely he won.
No. We know he's joking.
But definitely he won.
I am blown away. I really am. I have to say, I'm just beyond words. Beyond words. And I appreciate both of you being so candid and just being upfront and honest. And I have to say in this, you know, let me just catch everybody up to speed on this. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two folks on who are very special to me, and they're actually very special guests today. We're talking about the subject of not just autism, but how it also affects the folks closest to you. And in the case of our guest today, we have Mr. Jorge. We're going to just say Jorge. Now, Jorge is autistic.
Yes,
and
sir.
You are autistic. But, you know, you're not here today by yourself.
you have an amazing, amazing, wonderful lady named Naomi, who we're overjoyed to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And to hear the words that you've just expressed about Jorge and how you're working together, you're a team, a unit, if you will, is just mind-blowing. And so I just wanted you to know that. It sounds just
thank you so much, Carrie.
Awesome. You did well, Jorge. You did well.
Really appreciate
you did well. Okay. Yes. And Naomi? You did well. You did well. Okay. So I just want you guys to know that. Now, for you listeners out there, this is really, really an important subject. And you know what? The whole thing about the social aspect of it, because these are things that those of us who are not dealing with autistic may take for granted. And so I can actually tell you I would probably lose my patience very quickly early on, because I might not understand what to look out for. So this is why it's important to familiarize yourself, I think educate is a better way to say it. Did you begin to kind of do some research, Naomi? How have you kind of, you know, prepared yourself, so to speak, for some of the challenges in being with someone who's autistic?
Yes. We had to do some research. In my case, I need to do and I'm still doing some research about how to work with an autistic when he's on his mood. Sometimes he gets overwhelmed with certain things, with certain noises too. So I do, in my case, I really need to be really calm and try to speak to him really in a lovely way. For example, in his case, he loves me when I hug him. Anytime that I need to tell him maybe a really strong topic, maybe something that can make him overwhelmed, I need to first hug him and tell him beautiful stuff, and then I can start telling him what I really need to tell him.
And it works every time.
Yes, and it works all the time. Thanks, God.
But to interrupt you, I also have to, you know, get onto a same level with understanding that it's not just an autistic in a relationship. It's also Naomi.
Yes.
The non-autistic. So we're both getting to the point where we're accepting each other's differences, and we're also trying to learn how to manage each other's differences instead of making firing gas.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, go right ahead.
There's no firing where we can create an explosion. We don't want that. So I think for me, the best thing that I've been trying to do is learning that I am autistic. I struggle socially. So instead of asking her to help me and be patient with me, I have to do the same thing for her. Please be patient with her because I'm struggling.
Exactly. And you were next on our list. I just wanted you to know. I was coming to you next, Jorge, but you took us right there because I was about to ask you. Now, we have identified the challenges of a person who is non-autistic and interacting with someone in a relationship who is autistic.
Yes.
Well, now we're going to flip it around as Jorge kind of just went there. So what are some of the I'm coming in with my stereotypes, of course, so that's so that I understand. But Jorge, are there any challenges in being in a relationship with someone who is non-autistic?
Honestly, I would be honest with you. The main challenge is social tension. Like sometimes you might want to say certain things, but there's a time and place for everything. So differentiating those two differences can be difficult depending on how I am feeling and depending on why I'm feeling and when I'm feeling.
Okay. And I was just thinking as you were saying, I was like, well, that kind of sounds like all relationships to me. But I know what you mean. It can be exacerbated or, you know, accentuated because of the
A lot more intense for us.
Right, exactly. Okay, wow. Well, folks, again, if you're just kind of tuning on in, you are listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me today on the line, we have Jorge and Naomi. Now, you guys are in the Northeast. Where are you guys? What state are you guys in?
We are in New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay. And yes, you go ahead. I'm sorry, Jorge. Go right on in. Jump in.
All the way from Atlantic City, New Jersey to New York.
And we love folks in Atlantic City because we have the Hair Nation Expo events down in Atlantic City. So
yes,
at the Showboat Hotel. So we just love that. And we're going to remind folks about that before we say goodbye to you today. But right now, I kind of want to jump back on in. And I appreciate the way that you both are being, as I said earlier, you're being very candid about this, and it's not easy to do because there are a lot of folks out there who have children who are autistic, who have all kinds of, parents and siblings and so forth. And this was something that, me, myself, and my generation, I was not as familiar with this. So this seems to me to be something that's relatively recent for me to learn about, as I mentioned earlier. The other thing is that New Jersey seems to, as a state, in terms of dealing with autism, has its own set of numbers and things. It just seems like it's kind of an anomaly. It's in a different, they have all kinds of different dynamics in terms of how autism affects, it seems, that people are affected in the state of New Jersey versus some of the other states. So we can definitely research that. So I just have to say, Jorge, can you describe to us a little bit more about some of the, the things, the way autism might affect someone like yourself, some of the things that might be, again, a little bit more of a challenge. So you said kind of listening or like just social interactions and things like that. That's the whole idea, I think, behind it, right?
For sure. I'm just going to start off with this. I can't tell you what other autistics feel, but as far as myself, I can try to help you understand autism in general. Autism, if we think about it, kind of refer back to a mixtape or a studio session, right? You see different knobs and different volumes for different areas, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine that as an autistic, where you see different volumes for different areas. Now incorporate the spectrum to it. A spectrum means not everybody that's autistic is going to act or deal with things the way this autistic does. So when I think about autism, to help people understand a spectrum, you got to refer back to that studio session with different knobs to different areas. Which one can be louder, which one can be softer, which one can be overwhelmed, or which one's going to be a little overwhelmed. There's always a different knob to each autistic.
I have to say, now there are all kinds of beliefs out there where this has come from. And Naomi, I'm sure you've heard of some of these things. Does it not go through your mind sometimes? You're like, well, where did this come from? Because, and when you see and meet, when you meet Jorge, you meet him and you don't, you can't imagine. And he's, Jorge, you're just such a down-to-earth, smart as a whip, kind-hearted soul. And, if you didn't really share that you were, autism is one of your challenges, if you will, we wouldn't know.
Why do we recognize?
Yes, right.
We wouldn't know. So, like you kind of mentioned earlier, Naomi.
What does autism look like?
Right.
Yeah.
What does it, well, let me ask you guys that question. What does it look like now?
It looks like acceptance.
Yeah. Mm. Definitely. It looks like, we all are different. Definitely. Every people, we struggle in certain areas, but we can be, all of us, we can be different because, and struggle in different areas, but at the same time, we all will look the same. Autistic, there is not a special face for autistic. Autistic is just a normal person that struggles in an area that I might not struggle.
Kind of explain it like this. Autism, we make the easy things look hard.
Yeah.
And the hard things look easy.
Yeah, sometimes.
So
yeah. The
easiest things that most people would take for granted, we struggle with. Like, most people wouldn't think about going out in public and having to worry about noises. So everything that's easy to you guys might be harder for us. But most things that are harder for you guys are actually easier for us, such as technology or art or things like the hardest things we can do, but it's the easiest things.
Yes, sure.
That are really difficult for autism.
Yes, sure.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you one thing. And I can say this, Jorge, you do not let any of these things stop you.
No,
you
sir.
Thrive. And there are folks out here who may not, their challenges may be some things that we just can't see or know about, and they seem able-bodied, so to speak, but we let those things, they kind of impede us from going on with our lives. And if there's one thing I'm picking up today, right here on this show, in this moment, is that to have someone to support you as you do, and I mean this to each of you, to have each other, it says a whole lot.
Yeah,
it says a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I just want to, yes, go ahead.
Sometimes when I'm overwhelmed with Naomi, it really helps to move in gratitude, you know. Certain times I'll be like, man, she don't understand me, and sometimes I want to be upset. But it helps to live in gratitude, like, even though I'm upset with her, I appreciate that she's not like everybody else.
Well,
and
no, she's not like everybody else. I heard that as soon as she said about two or three sentences. I heard that very clearly, Naomi, I have to say. I'm so honored, and so have our listeners. So, we can tell why, you know, that how you guys are together, obviously. Great job for both of you. Now, I want to just inform our listeners a little bit here. And again, you know, we want to remind everybody that if you want to, you know, find out more about Jorge and Naomi's journey, you can, because Jorge has a wonderful Instagram account. So that you guys can visit and sign up or follow him or whatever they say these days. Go to what is it on Instagram? Is follow?
Model fan page would be stylistic_autistic.
Okay, so let's say that again slowly for everybody. Folks my age and up. Go
so
slow.
Guys,
yes.
My model fan page would be stylistic_autistic.
And that's your fan page for your modeling career. We want to remind everybody, too, because we didn't really get to do that today so much. But Jorge is a model. He is fantastic. He's also going to be working with us and continuing to work with us here on the Hair Radio Salon TV Network, all that wonderful good stuff. And
yes.
Also, Miss Naomi, I'm hoping you both will be joining us. I saw some great pictures, and we love the pictures. First of all, I said, wow. I immediately contacted Jorge, and I said, this is awesome. You guys make an awesome couple, and now
thank
we know why.
Thank you so much.
So,
thank
great
you
job.
So.
It's my pleasure. So, listen, we're going to have you guys to come back soon to the broadcast and kind of, you know, bring us up to date. We're going to continue to follow you guys. And, you know, and again, on Instagram, go to stylistic_autistic. Again, that's stylistic_autistic, and that will connect you with Jorge's modeling page with all of his information. You could see a whole bunch of stuff there, which is just great. And again, visit on the internet. You can even Google the Carrie Hines podcast, and you could even type in Jorge's first name. I'm sure it'll pop up there, and you'll see the podcast from our original interview that we did, which we have a whole bunch of wonderful things and connections out there and podcasts and video and all that wonderful good stuff. And this interview, of course, will just play all across our networks for everybody and to keep them informed of what you're doing. So again, Naomi, any last thoughts? I'll ask each of you. Any last thoughts, Naomi?
Yes, sure. My last thought is that this relationship, this experience with Georgie has been definitely a blessing for me because that helped me to know what really love is. Love is not just a feeling, it's also a choice to love that person, it's a choice to say, hey, I accept you as you are, doesn't matter what, and I chose you to love you just as you are. Also, he has helped me to be more tolerant, right, and more lovely, right, Georgie? And more
wow.
patient, of course. I don't used to be really patient with people before, but after since I've been here with him, it has been definitely a blessing, a personal blessing for me. I feel that I am a better person thanks to him.
It gets no better than that. Jorge, we're giving you the last word. Did you have anyone that you want to shout out to or last thoughts that you want to leave?
Wait. There's no shout out without Marcus. Marcus, if you are listening to this, shout out to Marcus. God bless you, man. Love you. John Freeman, shout out to you. Thank you for hooking me up with Crayons. And to all the people that I sincerely love and genuinely appreciate, I thank God for you guys and your support. And you're just being you guys in my life. And Patty, love you. And everybody else, you guys know.
Okay.
So, Gary Hines, shout out to Gary. Thank you so much for
Thank
this
you.
Amazing opportunity once more. And
yes.
Looking forward to many more.
Awesome. Well, listen, I want to thank again Mr. Jorge and Naomi for being our guests on today's broadcast. To
waiting for the time to pass you by. Hope the winds have changed will change your mind. I could give a thousand reasons why, and I know you, and you've got to make it on your own. But we don't have to grow up, we can stay forever young. Living on my sofa, drinking rum and cola underneath the rising sun. I could give a thousand reasons why, but you're going, and you know that. All you have to do is stay a minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second, your hands on mine. The clock is ticking, so stay.
Bye.
when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance.
I am an endangered species. But I sing no victim song. I am a woman, I am an artist, and I know where my voice belongs. Time
to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, thank you, Purple Barbie. It is Tuesday morning. It's January 17th of 2023. And I am so excited to be with you live as we broadcast out of Brooklyn, New York. Really, a great, awesome day ahead. It is our wonderful mid-show point. Lots of things to get into. Let me bring to the line my co-star out of Water Valley, Mississippi. You guys know her. She's been with us for almost, I'm going to say, for 99 shows. Let me reintroduce the queen of the mornings, Miss Nicole Marie. Happy mid-show. Happy Tuesday, Nicole.
Happy mid-show and happy terrific Tuesday, Carrie.
Yes. It's show number 99 for you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it is. Yes,
okay.
And I'm so excited. Yes.
Yes, me too. First of all, today, like, there are lots of things happening in the news today.
Oh, yes.
So I definitely want to go ahead and get that on out there. And I had, I kind of did prepare a K-High report. So I'm going to kind of get on into it. It's very brief. There are two big stories. And are you hearing everything? Is your, because it could be my mic and my line. But yeah,
I hear you clearly.
Stories that I'm,
yes.
Okay. All right. I'll have to check mine. I kind of hear a little feedback on my side. So listen, the two stories here, let's go ahead and get started with a very impromptu K-High report. So we have a wonderful, wonderful intro that I just love on this. Take a listen. Okay, it's the K-High Report for Tuesday, January 17th of 2023. I kind of want to lead in with this. Two big stories. One, a couple of nights ago, literally on Saturday, there was a huge, huge, huge beauty pageant called the Miss Universe. You guys know it well. And for the very, very first time, a Filipina American was named as the winner of that contest. And today, the reason it makes the lead story on the K-High Report is because we're talking with the Upscale Magazine fashion director, who got an opportunity to chat a little bit with the new Miss Universe. And we're going to bring all of that in the next hour. So, so excited to talk about that right here. History in the making, and our very own Upscale Magazine fashion editor the Upskill Magazine radio fashion editor and a fashion contributor to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Dr. Courtney A. Hammons, is going to be with us live in the coming up in the next half hour. So lots of talk about what's really happened behind the scenes at the wonderful Miss Universe pageant. So really excited to hear about that. So that's going to be really great to get into. The Upskill magazine, the whole family, we just love them so much. So we're going to be talking about them this morning. The second story that we have for the KHI Report today, and again, there's a lot going on, but this one is very close to home. It's all about a brand new product that we have just released, Act Kerapy, K-E-R-R-A-P-Y. If today's your first time tuning in, you may not realize that I have my own product line called Kerapy, K-E-R-R-A-P-Y. The K-E-R-R comes from Kerry, and the A-P-Y is a little play on hair therapy. So we put it together, and there you go. You got Kerapy. So our new product, the reason it makes the KI Report, because it's the very first product we've released or added to the Kerapy line in several years. So it's big news for us. And what that product is all about is a brand new leave-in conditioner. And it is falling under a special brand new line. We didn't just come out with the product. We also came out with a brand new entire line of hair products. And this is all about moisture, 100% moisture. In fact, we named it Moisture 100. So all of this is available right at our Kerapy.com website. Again, just go to Kerapy.com, and there is an e-commerce store there where you can purchase that or just reach out to us. We're happy to get you connected. We'll have more of this on our Hair Radio online community, and we'll continue to go behind the scenes. We're going to really delve into this whole entire wonderful back story at the Miss Universe pageant. So real good stuff. Nicole Marie, what
wonderful.
Do you have to say?
Wow. Well, just like you said, I am also very, very excited to hear about the Miss Universe pageant later in our show today. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I'm also very, very excited about the Moisture 100 Leave-In Conditioner. I'm so excited about that. Yes. Love
really
new product.
Good item. Yes, it is fantastic. Hey, a little different rollout. Normally Michael comes in and the next half hour, we're going to kind of get Michael in on our talk this morning. Michael Hopkins, who today's a big day for Michael. We're going to have him tell us why.
Oh, yes.
Coming up at 8:30 today. Michael Hopkins, let's see if we can get him on mic. Michael from beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. He is the host of the Vet Talk Radio. Michael, I know it's a little earlier than normal, but
good morning,
are you there
Michael.
This morning?
Oh, good morning, family. Good morning.
Okay. Awesome to have you with us. So Michael, you heard about that. We have a lot coming up on the Miss Universe, lots of talk about that with our very own live guest, Dr. Courtney A. Hammond. And then also big news, a new Kerapy product. What's your feedback this morning on that, on those stories?
Wow, on the Miss Universe, that is a big story, and I can't wait to hear about it. I can't wait to hear about it. And the Kerapy, as you know, Kerapy is near and dear to my heart because it just fits in so much with what we do here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with my show, with the Vet Talk
exactly.
Radio Show. It just fits in so well. And just looking forward to it.
Yes. Now, we're going to be getting into a lot of this that we have never talked about. So, Michael, in the coming weeks, we're going to be there is a nexus, there is a correlation between the Vet Talk radio claims process that Michael so rolls out each Tuesday morning. Today will be no exception. He'll be up at about 8:30 this morning in our last half hour of the show today. That's East Coast time to talk about the claims process. And particularly today, Michael, you're rolling out the very first part of a multi-arc presentation. Can you tell us what it's what it'll be about a little bit?
Oh, Carrie, sure can. This one's going to be all about the top terms that every veteran should know when they're filing for compensation. This is our 8-part series, and I had just a whole lot of fun just doing the research for this, and it's so important for veterans.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Nicole Marie, good morning over there. Okay.
Good morning.
You're all being quiet this morning.
I'm tuned in. I'm listening about Vet Talk. I'm so excited about the show this morning.
Yes, so am I. I think it's going to be fantastic. All right, Michael. So this is the first, as we said, the first on this. These are These are not words, but these are terms. That's the word. These are terms.
That's the key word.
Right. Term is the key word. And so I'm excited about this. You got a lot to cover in the near future on this. And so I'm very excited, in addition to what we talked about a few minutes ago. So this is going to be outstanding. We're going to be paying close attention. So coming up in just a couple of minutes, of course, we should be on the flu and the candle talk. As far as what we've got going on at the Hair Radio Morning Show, Nicole Marie, this morning you were listening to quite a bit. We had a lot going on the show. Anything that jumped out at you this morning on the broadcast?
Yes. Well, always love to hear about the do-it-yourself and the social media as far as hair is concerned. And I just had I was laughing to myself as I was listening because I have a 17-year-old daughter who is definitely all into social media and doing it yourself, and she wants to try this and she wants to try that. So I was just kind of laughing to myself listening because that is definitely her. So I just found that conversation very interesting because that is definitely, and we're opposite because she is all into do it yourself. She wants to try this, she wants to try that, and I'm the one that stays in tune with my stylist and does what she says.
Mm. Wow.
So very interesting.
Yeah. Generational. That's
it
the
is.
Big word that they're using out there
yes.
for this.
Yes.
Because a lot of them, they are quite comfortable going to social media, going
right.
to
watching
you know,
everything.
TikTok
yes.
and
right.
YouTube, all of that kind of stuff, and letting that guide their way. And it's
right.
always with them.
Right.
It's in their pocket. Where the hairstylist, you kind of got to make an appointment to see.
Right.
And
right.
And the other side of that is that cost factor. And YouTube, like most of the social media, it's I'm making air quotes if you guys could see me, free.
Exactly.
Right.
It's going to cost you in the long run, though.
That's what you literally took the words out of my mouth, Nicole Marie. I agree. There is a price that you will be paying. Trust me.
Right.
For this social media world that you so quick
so
to
true.
Embrace without really knowing all of the ramifications. And,
right.
And boy, there are some ramifications.
Yes, there are. Yes,
you
there
know,
are.
And this is the thing that we've got to really kind of bear in mind. And Nicole Marie, not today, but on one of these upcoming shows, maybe a little later on we'll get a chance to talk, but if not, later this week, I really want to look at the facial recognition. We've talked about everything on the show this morning. We even
right.
talked about what was that, the autism spectrum.
Yes.
And all of that.
With Jorge and Naomi, yes.
Exactly, with Jorge and Naomi. And so I want to kind of get into this whole thing about the facial recognition, where there are folks out there, particularly here in New York as well, where they have already started utilizing this software. And
okay.
I think folks feel a certain way about it, and especially if you're a minority. So
right.
I think this is something that we need to have these discussions. And if it were
most
up
definitely.
To me, first, you know what? We're going to roll out the whole presentation. I think it'll be a very special KHI report that we do that
awesome.
We're looking and peeling back the layer on this. Now, coming up in about 15 minutes, we have a lot going on. Dr. Courtney A. Hammond will be with us. Again, he's the fashion director for Upscale Magazine. And not just Upscale Magazine, he does a lot. He checks a lot of boxes. But in addition, on our platform, he also helps as a contributor to the Hair Radio Morning Show with fashion, as well as Upscale Magazine Radio. And we are so excited to have him with us live.
Oh, yes.
Right
yes,
here.
We are.
So, it's going to be
Stay
really,
tuned.
Really nice. Yeah, well, we're going to get into, well, the whole thing is we're going to get into quite a bit with the behind the scenes. We're going to go behind the scenes at this past weekend's incredible Miss Universe pageant.
Universe pageant.
We're excited about this for the first time here on our show. So this is going to be really great. And so stay tuned.
Awesome.
In addition to a whole bunch of other stuff that we're going to get into in just a few minutes. So really good stuff. Listen, let's take a little bit of a commercial break. We're going to get everything all queued up for you guys, and we will be we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Coming soon. Don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Hi. I'm Kerry Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Kerapi Shampoo and Kerapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Kerry Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Kerapi Shampoo and Kerapi Conditioner grows hair. Kerry Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Kerapi, and we thank you. Please register at Kerapi.com and join our Kerapi community at hairradio.com. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. Thank you.
I'm not the baddest. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines and Nicole Marie with Michael Hopkins and Blue. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right. Thank you, Purple Barbie. It is Tuesday morning. It's January 17th of 2023. And we have a lot going on this morning. So we're going to kind of just jump right on in. First, let me bring to the line, back to the line, I should say, my co-host, co-star from Water Valley, Mississippi. She sits on the board down in Water Valley. She's been a big part of our show. Today is her 99th episode since she's come on board as my co-host. So I'm real excited. Nicole Marie, good morning again. Happy mid-show point.
Good morning again and happy mid-show. Yes, Carrie.
Absolutely. And Michael Hopkins, who is one of our contributors to the broadcast. He is one of our co-hosts here. He will be up later with his own show. Yes, at about 8:30 Eastern time this morning. So we got a lot that he's got a special show. It's his second season. He's going to talk about that. Michael, you'll be sharing quite a bit with us in just a little while. So I'm really excited about that.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yes. So that'll be really good. Okay, so listen, first up, coming up in just a few minutes, really about 5 minutes, Nicole Marie. We've got a special interview with Dr. Courtney A. Hammond.
But first,
every day about this time, I literally toss it to Blue. Now, she comes to us out of Jacksonville, Florida. Blue is the proprietor of Divine Energy Luxury Candles, And I want to say, Blue, you're on with me and Nicole Marie. Good morning to you, Miss Blue.
Good morning, Blue.
Yes. Good morning, Carrie. Good morning, Nicole. How's everyone doing this morning?
Wonderful. How are you in Jacksonville this morning?
Beautiful Jacksonville. Chilly. We're 30 here, so it's pretty cold. I'm sipping on my tea, so it's chilly.
For you, that's cold. For us, that's a beach day here in New York. So listen. Blue. Yeah. I have to tell you, you always bring us something interesting with Divine Energy Candles. You literally change the energy up on this broadcast mid-show each day.
Yes.
By giving us,
love it.
Yeah, what we call the scent of the day. The scent of the day. And so this is the first time this week, Tuesday's our first day back live each week. And so I can't wait to get into what Divine Energy Candles Luxury Candle Line has on tap for us today. Take it away, Blue.
Thank you, Carrie. Yes. Well, this morning we're going to come to you with some black violet and saffron. Now, black violet and saffron is a seductive blend of aromatic herbs, warm amber, and floral. Black violet and saffron add a mystique to our luxury line of products, exactly. And when I say, we have gentle notes of bergamot and geranium faded into a boutique, not a boutique, a flower, let's say, and roses and violet with a woodsy, woodsy is nice and rich. It's based of saffron and with hints of leather and vetiver. Yeah. Let's get to our top middle.
So this is called black. Black Violet.
Black Violet and Saffron.
And Saffron.
Wow.
Wow.
Black Violet
that sounds beautiful to me.
Wow.
I like that. What is wrong, Ron?
Saffron. Well, we cook with saffron. You know, it's a little orangey, reddish ingredient that we add to, like, rice and, you know what I'm saying? But it's it's actually the fragrance. Yeah, it's the fragrance, though. And it really does smell like the herb that we use in the rice and stuff. And
the season,
it smells like that. Exactly. So when I make this candle, it would be like a reddish, because I could do it in two colors. I could do it in the black violet, which is like a dark purple, or I would do it in a nice orangey red because the saffron. So I'll use two different colors when I make this one, because if you want
black violet.
I'm loving that. Black violet.
Right, Nicole Marie?
Yeah.
She has beautiful black
violet. It's really beautiful. And it goes nice with santal or oud. You know, they go well together with that black saffron as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, as soon as you said that, I was thinking woodsy, kind of outdoors.
Yes.
And then you said mystic and...
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
I'm loving that.
Because, thank you, honey. The top notes are bergamot and geranium, and that middle note you're going to have your rose, violet, and raspberry. It snuck in a little raspberry, and then that base note you got your saffron, your leather, and your vetiver. So it's a really, really, really woodsy combination, but it's soft.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. And when you mix, and when you put it in a candle, it's soft. Like when you smell out the bottle, it's kind of strong. But when you blend them all together in that wax, and it sits and it sets, it's really, really nice to burn something like that. Because everybody likes a little woodsy fragrance.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I want to jump in and just remind everybody that you have a lot of candle scents. You have many, many, many. We just kind of talk about one each day, but you've got a lot.
Yeah,
right.
I do have over 100. But the thing about it is all of them aren't on my site. Actually, some of the ones on my site definitely need to come off, like Hansel and Gretel. I think I sold out of that a couple of years
ago, and
I replaced it with something else.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a few cents on my website that, like I said, definitely need to come off. But there's a whole lot of them on there that I did read. The one that people love the most, I definitely reordered. And I added because that list was small. And now the list has grown tremendously.
Awesome.
Like,
I'm still here. I'm just getting my education in this morning with you, Blue. I am getting my education in.
I will be happy to answer them.
I'll have my Bachelor's of Science in Candle Communication.
Candles.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, we get it every day. And like
every
I always tell Blue, I love it because you kind of change the dynamic each day. We do a shift.
Right.
And Blue brings that with the candle talk. That's why she's the queen of candles. So we love that.
Relaxation.
That was taken
away
for me.
Yeah, Divine Energy Candles, a luxury line. We love them. Google them, all that wonderful good stuff. Go to her site, check everything out, and join us each day mid-show for Candle Talk. So real good by
Absolutely.
Divine Energy.
Thank you, Blue.
Great
job,
you got it. Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. So that's Blue's here with us weekdays. You guys know we're live Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've been on Blog Talk's platform for about 8 years. 8 years. And so you can kind of do the average since we're today at show number 808. 808 is our show number today. And Michael, great to have you with us as well. So listen, I'm going to just get us on a quick break, because when I come back, I'm having a very, very special guest join us. You know him. He's been with us before. He is the fashion director who's going to join me live on the air with Upscale Magazine and so much more going on. He's going to take us behind the scenes at this past weekend, Miss Universe pageant. So that and so much more. So let's get on with our little break so we can get to Dr. Courtney A. Hammons in just a bit. So stay with us.
Think about you.
Oh,
baby.
Just think about you.
back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Carrie, over to you.
Okay, thank you, Angela. Again, it's Tuesday, January 17th of 2023, and my very, very special guest comes to us from the world of fashion. He's been with us before. You guys know him. His name is Dr. Courtney A. Hammons, and he is the fashion director for Upscale Magazine, for Upscale Magazine Radio, and our contributor right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with Fashion. It is my great honor to again welcome Dr. Courtney A. Hammons. Good morning, Dr. Hammons. How are you?
Listen, I am fashionably well, and thank you so kindly for the warm introduction. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, it's always our pleasure. I mean, you go literally, as the kids say, you go in with fashion. You go in, Dr. Hammond. Okay, I really mean that. So, and I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that. There's always this synchronicity between hair and fashion, fashion and hair. And let me just get it on out there. I know everybody wants to hear all about this past weekend and the incredible time that you had at the Miss Universe pageant. So we're going to go behind the scenes with you on all of that. Nicole Marie's going to talk through all of that in just a bit. But first, we want to get into some of these fashion concerns that our fans have raised as well and want to know about. And you are the perfect person for this. So let's get into a little bit of this fashion talk this morning on the show. So, yeah, so first, let's talk about it. It's the fall season. Is it? Yeah, I think it's still fall. It feels a little winterish, but I don't think we're quite there yet. But here in New York, it doesn't feel quite as cold quite yet. But still, folks are already looking ahead to spring. And like I said, there's that big correlation between hair and fashion. So what can you tell us, you know, what should we be looking at in terms of fashion for the spring?
Well, great question. And I really
believe
that.
We're kind of sick of the winter.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I don't know what season we're in, but, you know, because it's changing every so. But honestly, just kind of moving forward, I really believe that sustainability is really going to be a trend word, and I really don't want to call it a trend, but it's just a new normal. What right. I love is that people can really start shopping their closets and really building from there. Coming from the pandemic, we were not able to really get out in the world. The world was not open to many of us, but now it is. So many of us had things in our closet that we forgot we had or just were not wearing because we were in our sweats or loungewear. So now people are feeling a resurgence and being able to adorn themselves in attire and using their closets to do so. And so what I love now is that high-low shopping, right, and where people can have those staple pieces, but they can go in that fast fashion lane, whether it's a Zara, H&M, Forever 21, even a Goodwill, which I love, and other as such, and, you know, secondhand shops that can really make something old and make it new again, because it always goes to that verbiage that someone else's trash is someone else's treasure. And exactly. So that said, in the seasons to come, in the very near future and in now, you're going to see people really embrace all things old is becoming new again.
And that whole thing about, like when you said Goodwill, I had to chuckle a little bit to myself because I'm thinking you named other, like, you know, very familiar stores, especially here in New York, like Forever 21 and all of these places. And then you threw in the Goodwill. Like, I just didn't expect that to follow that, but why not? The Goodwill has amazing
And one other thing, too, I think people, there's such a misconception when it comes to secondhand stores like a Goodwill. A lot of my key pieces have come from stores like that, and the reason why, you just have to know how to shop them, right? And so when travels, even in the New York, even overseas, even here in Atlanta, I just know certain days to go to those stores and certain neighborhoods to go, right? End of the year, even now, is a great time to go because people are purging their closets. And so as they purge their closets, they're getting rid of things that I would consider amazing and sometimes even have tags on them. And so that is really a good way to save the bank, where you're not shopping and breaking the bank, rather, but you're being a little more conscious about your spending, but you're doing it in an economical way, but you're also doing it where you're finding things that fit your style aesthetic.
And that's exactly what I wanted to talk a little bit about, because with right now, it's not a secret, you know, money's tight for everybody. And we all, not just that, but we love a bargain. We love a bargain. Let's just put it on out there. And I think that this lends to that conversation. And if that's not enough, here in New York City, where we have high-end secondhand shops, so to speak, and I don't like the word secondhand, I don't like that word, but I think that it is, you know, they have these where it's been, you know, clothing has been repurposed. And then these are designer-type labels, and then and the price on them, well, it's not exactly, you know, bargain basement pricing. They literally charge almost the same price as if the designer item was brand new. And we have these places, like they've popped up all around in Manhattan and parts of Brooklyn and all of that here in New York. So that's kind of, you know, I just wanted to say what, I guess it goes back to what you said, Dr. Courtney, what is old is kind of new again for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's just a wonderful, right, where now we have more options than we had before, where everybody's not going to go into a Bertha Goodman or even to a Neiman's or Henri Bendel, God rest their soul, in a because there's no sense even a sex with that whatever store that the people would love, that they'll go into other stores that maybe have some of the same products, or even pop-up shops now. And I think that's a trend that is coming up, where people or brands are doing pop-up shops in unconventional locations and giving people an opportunity to come and shop and explore with their girlfriends or even just friends on a Sunday brunch or a Saturday. They can go and shop, whether it's 2 or 3 days that is there. And it's maybe sometimes it gives people an illusion that it's more accessible if the location has changed. However, I also believe in buying heroes. Right. And I think I said that before one time, that to me is something in the closet that's a conversation starter, but it's always something, because I believe at the end of the day, if you work hard, you deserve to treat yourself. And so a lot of times people, they treat themselves in different ways, whether it's a fine dining, a nice car, homes, trips, but why can't clothes be, or accessories even be in that equation if you do it with modesty? And no matter what industry you're in, fashion is a universal language, and so just like music, and so that is a common thread between all of us, and no pun intended. And so, being that we're able to wear and embrace our favorite designers, or even just style aesthetic, once again, at the end, is still a personal choice, right? And oftentimes, people ask you how much something costs, but they're often commenting on how it looks, and so I think it goes into your point where it doesn't have to cost a lot. Even if it's a fast fashion item, is all about care. And so if you clean it well, if you store it well, all of those things are components that help individuals when it comes to building a wardrobe be able to do it from any economic status.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, let me just back it up a little bit. Folks, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. We're live. I'm Carrie Hines. Today is Tuesday, January 17th of 2023. I had to take a look at the calendar. Tuesday, January 17th of 2023. It's our show number 808. And our very, very special live guest this morning. Well, I'm going to just say you're a fashion czar. We're talking about the one and only Dr. Courtney A. Hammons, who comes to us out of the Georgia area. Now, he is the fashion director for Upscale Magazine, for Upscale Magazine Radio, as well as the contributor here on Fashion to the Hit Radio Morning Show. Now, you are connected with some other folks up there as well. Dr. Hammons, please take a moment. Tell us on some of these partnerships that you've been able to put together.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's been a wonderful journey. And as of late, I was just named the COO of Noir Fashion Week. Yes, I'm so excited about that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you know what? You never know who's watching, you know. And I think that's a wonderful testament to people's brands that continue to do the work, because you never know who's watching on the other side of social media and just the world in general. So Nicole M. Bass is her name. She is the CEO, and I'm so excited to be in alignment with her. There was a brand previous as of last year, was called New York Fashion Week Black, and she went through a name change, and it is now called Noir, hence still black, but it celebrates all things black, brown designers and creatives, and it is a traveling fashion platform. But primarily in the New York area. So we will be showing our third season in New York this season, February 10th through 12th, and I'm so excited. We have some things.
And I hope you take us with you. I hope you cover that right on the platforms.
Already done, I promise you.
Awesome. Noir.
This is
N-O-I-R.
Yes,
love it.
Noir Fashion Week. I'm so excited. So that working and fine-tuning some things to schedule. We just did that, found the location. So I would encourage people just to follow Noir, N-O-I-R, Fashion Week. It's all on social media. You see all the updates, all the shows, and it's going to be so exciting. And in addition to that as well, working with the St. Lucia Fashion Council. I've been doing that now for about 4 years as the Global Fashion Ambassador. So working with amazing talents on the island of St. Lucia, the country, and they're doing some amazing work. And so that said, you never know where your journey will lead. All you have to do is to show up. You show up, you do the work, and the work speaks for itself. So,
well, I think you mentioned a Nicole with Mara. And so that's just a perfect lead-in to kind of bring in and bring back to the line our very own Nicole. We call her Nicole Marie. She's out of Water Valley, Mississippi. Now, she's going to take you through an entire shift here, because we are going – this is why everybody tuned in this morning, Dr. Courtney A. Hammons. This is why everybody wants to go behind the scenes to talk about this past weekend. So they would just kind of hang me high here if I let the time get away. We didn't go into it. So I cannot wait. I know she wants to talk all about your connection with Upscale and really bring that to life here for the fans of the show. So it is my honor. And then Michael Hopkins will be with us for the last question a little later. But right now, let me welcome to join us right here, Miss Nicole Marie. You're on with Dr. Courtney A. Hammons and Carrie Hines. Welcome back.
Hey, Dr. Courtney A. Hammons.
Hi.
So nice to speak with you this morning.
Oh, you as well. It's a pleasure, my dear.
Thank you so much. Well, let's just jump right in here. I know now that you've had a chance to really jump in and get your feet wet at Upscale Magazine. And how has your tenure been so far, and what are some of the exciting things that you have done?
Oh, wow. Well, wonderful question. Thank you so kindly. Well, listen, it feels as if I've been with you at this point for years and years,
right. But
really it's just been since September of last year. And with that said, I make so many accomplishments, and clearly not by myself. It takes a team. So shout out to Nigel, the editor, and all the amazing other individuals, Ms. Millie, clearly Mr. Bronner, Carrie, of course, and all the entire team that has welcomed me in with welcoming arms. That said,
wonderful.
Literally since being on board since last September, I'm already on my third print issue. So,
wow, like, congratulations.
Like, right, you know. And what I love about that is that thank God that I come from a fashion storytelling background. So, you know, creating a story that makes sense from an academic slant, because I love educating people on the
right.
subjects that we're doing, where it's not just a bland story, but one with a little more depth and insight. And that said, I sometimes forget the people that are in my Rolodex, right? I think you're only as powerful as the ones that you're connected to, because you're only as powerful
right.
as your network. So I've been able to pull on some amazing individuals that I call unsung heroes, where they're doing amazing things in their respective spaces and sectors. But I just think that the world deserves to know who they are. And so, to your question, what I've also been able to do was craft well over 30 stories online where
wow.
highlighting well, you know, partnering with other entities. I also did an op-ed on 50 years of hip hop fashion, which is this year, 2023, that I also
yes.
created that in December. The reason why is because I consider myself a forward thinker, and so I wanted to get ahead of the conversation of hip-hop, right? So I know
right.
my lane, I know how. So why not focus on hip-hop fashion, because you wouldn't have hip-hop if it wasn't fashion. So I,
right.
you know, pulled on some resources. One of the major accomplishments, we just did a fireside chat here in Atlanta with Moda Museum, and they donated the space. And I end up having some amazing individuals that were on the panel discussion. We're almost 100 people in attendance, and we did a recap. And I'm doing it again February 2nd here in Atlanta with Robert
awesome.
Esther. Yeah, Robert Esther is the celebrity makeup, not makeup, photographer, excuse me, for Mary J. Blige, Steve Harvey, Nicki Minaj, the list goes on and
oh,
on.
Oh, wow.
And Michael Bolcoats, who is all things MC Hammer and Prince. So he was the music producer for them. But guess what? He's a personal friend. So, again,
nice.
Sometimes when you're creating stories, you got to pull those triggers when you need to. And here's a life lesson that I learned is I love the game Spades, right? And so when you play Spades,
right.
The whole objective of that is not to pull the spades card until you need it. So what I've
awesome,
learned
right.
through the process at Upscale was to pull the ace card when I need it and call on these individuals, such as events like that.
Important.
And here we are, and I'm so excited about it.
Great. Thank you so much. Now, here's a question. Now, earlier you were talking about fashion. If you made an A-list of celebrities with regard to fashion and dress, who would be on that list?
Oh, easy. The first person would be my mentor, Andre Leontali. One of my roles at Upscale, well, my primary role here is really to extend the legacy that he left. So
right.
I had the opportunity to know him, to glean from him in his later years. But as a mentor, as a student of his, I think it's my
wow.
responsibility, anyone that looks like me, to forge the legacy on through action and deed. So he would be one, because every superhero doesn't wear a cape, but he did wear a caftan.
True.
So he would be one. Number two for me would, again, be unsung heroes that everybody does not know. But it can be, what I mean by that is, there's so many amazing and unique individuals that walk the streets of every major city, every small town, that they're not looking for the accolades, but if you go in their house, in their closet, they have so many wonderful pieces that start a conversation. So I love
right.
looking park. I love going to the malls, going to restaurants. I love coffee, so I drink that every day. And when I'm in the coffee shop, I don't purposely try to figure out what I wear, but when I leave the house, I am aware that I have to walk out and look like what I am, right? So,
right.
If it's a pair of glasses, if it's a bag, and whatever it is, it's always going to spark a conversation. Not that that is my goal, but it always does. And what that means is that I'm meeting individuals that sometimes are not even in the fashion space, but they are appreciators of the fashion craft. So they would be number two. They would be number one for me because they are the inspiration. Andre Leon Talley would be number two. And then my go-to look at them. They're my mom, my two aunts.
Fabulous. You cannot forget them. Mm-hmm.
No. Listen, I've got to just say, first of all, great questions, Nicole Marie. And our guest today, you guys just tuning in, this incredible gentleman has just done so much in the way of fashion. We're talking to Dr. Courtney A. Hammonds today. And the fashion editor over at Upscale Magazine, Upscale Magazine Radio, as well as our contributor here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got to get to this morning, okay? And first of all, you, Dr. Hammonds, you were at the Big Miss Universe pageant, and I want to talk about this a little bit.
Okay.
I think a lot of folks, it's not a secret right now. I don't think this is a spoiler to say that the very first Filipina American was crowned as Miss Universe this past weekend. And I know you had a chance to get out there and mix it up with her. We want to hear everything. So take us behind the scenes.
Okay.
Dr. Courtney A. Hammonds, I'm turning the mic over to you, sir. Knock us out.
Where do we begin? Oh, my goodness. Well, sure, you know what? I'm still pinching myself because this was a lifelong aspirational goal for me. And, again, you never know who's watching, right? So in my different postures and all my roles, this opportunity was presented to me primarily through my partnership with Miss Universe St. Lucia, because Miss St. Lucia, Miss Universe St. Lucia is a client of mine because she is an active member of the Fashion Council, which I'm on the board of.
Wow.
So National Director Joyce Medrick asked me to come over to St. Lucia, which I go about 5-6 times out of the year and stay about 2-3 weeks at a time when I go. And the last time I went was to crown the Miss Universe St. Lucia, Cherise Paul. And when we crowned her, the whole goal clearly was to prep her for Miss Universe here in the United States in New Orleans. So that was the primary goal. Secondary goal was to continue expanding the narrative of fashion for the upscale brand. So what better way would be to get media credentials, right? So I had some through St. Lucia, but it was a multifaceted purpose, so I was able to infuse upscale in my posture there. So ironically, I'm going to say this, and I think this is a bragging right, that literally upscale was one of the only black media there. There wasn't an Essence, there was all these others, and that's not a slight. It's really a compliment to the brand. Because now more people are aware of the brand that probably were not aware before, because there were so many other major outlets such as Telemundo and all these others. So that said, I was able to interview whoever I wanted to, but I specifically asked to interview women of melanin skin tone, right? So I wanted to interview Miss Haiti, clearly Miss St. Lucia, Miss Ghana was one, and of course the new Miss Universe, Arbenny Gabrielle, I was able to ask and was the second person to actually ask her a question. And bragging right again.
Well, hold on. I think we have that question. Dr. Courtney, I think we have that question on audio that you literally asked Arbenny, and we're so excited. Let's take a listen. I'm going to leave you my son. Just take a listen. It's very short. Take a listen.
Hi, Miss Universe. Hi, my name is Dr. Courtney A. Hammond, and I'm with a school nursery out of Atlanta, Georgia. We have a common thread, no pun intended, but pun. I am in the fashion industry, and you're a fashion designer. What I would love to know, because fashion is a universal language, how will you continue to be a force for good for the entire world now, instead of not just in Texas, but as a global citizen?
Thank you, and I love your outfit.
Thank you.
Well, the fashion industry is the second largest polluting industry in the world. When you think about how clothes are made in factories, and there's a lot of waste involved, and I think all over the world, I want to bring awareness to that and how we can be more sustainable in our factories. When you think about it, women are mostly the garment workers in factories, and they're underpaid in countries. I want to bring that to light in child labor as well. Bring those issues to light and make a change and use my voice now that I have this amazing platform to do so. And that can be global.
Wow. First, congratulations
wow,
on that, Dr. Courtney.
Yes, congratulations. Thank you.
And that you brought it here for us to actually have for our fans
yes.
today. The brand new Miss Universe. Let's just put that on out there. So thank you. And
you're so outstanding.
I'm literally, when I watch this, and there's the video. We're going to put the video over on our Hair Radio online community. We have an entire platform at HAIRadio.com where folks can follow you. They can be, you have your own group pages and all that. So we're so excited. We're going to get that set up for you right here on our platform. So, but today we're going to put that video at under our group page for the Hair Radio Morning Show. So anyone could just go to HAIRadio.com, click on a big blue button, and you'll see all the posts that we have set up, and you'll be able to read this under the Hair Radio Morning Show group page. So I'm super excited about it. And well, this is fabulous. Now, so what was this experience like? And the first thing she said, I love your clothes. If that doesn't say everything, I don't even think I could have kept it together, really. So I was just blown away. I love it.
I love it. Yeah. Carrie, listen, I am still pinching myself. I was like, it was not just a monumental moment. It was a gut moment. It was a pause moment. Pause meaning yeah. that when we have things like this that you cannot even explain, I think it's important that you really take a purposeful pause and reflect on it and rest in it, because it's really a testament that even the secret prayers that you have prayed over your career, because we
yeah.
all ask, what is next for me? And I've been very fortunate to
exactly.
And I never take them for granted, but at the end, you always want to you want your industry to celebrate you, right? And not from an arrogant perspective,
right.
to know that you are really walking down a path of change, of innovation, and of purpose. And that moment really solidified that for my career, and I'm so excited about it.
Wow.
Well, I think when I watch this video, that again, we're going to put out there for you guys to see over in our Hair Radio online community, and to see Dr. Hammond literally pose this question to the brand newly minted, the pageant winner herself. She's the very first Filipina American to hold that crown. And so I'm super, super excited about it. And
oh,
I
excited.
Thank you for such
oh, yes.
good work. And if that's not enough, the folks at Upscale, you guys, our partners and family members over there, you need to be very, very happy about the work that Dr. Hammond is doing, doing over there.
Oh, yeah.
Great
work.
So I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. Outstanding. So this is going to be an ongoing conversation that we continue to have here. Fashion is very important. I think we led off this entire segment talking about the importance of fashion and the connection it has to hair and beauty and all that, you know, so it's a big part of that component. So real good stuff. Hey, I want to, we're going to work back in. I got to give our big, big buddy who is one of our contributors. He's an important part of our Hair Radio Morning Show. He does his own Vet Talk radio show, which comes up in about 8 minutes, 7 minutes now, East Coast time, at 8:30. So I'm super, super excited. His name is Michael Hopkins, and I think you guys have chatted before on the air. But what Michael is all about helping the veterans. This is a big part. Hair radio represents hair, beauty, and community. So trying to get everything in and out of my mouth this morning. So let me just bring back to the line. You've been with us on this morning as well. Michael Hopkins, you're on with Nicole Marie, Carrie Hines, and our very, very special guest from the world of fashion today. We're talking with Dr. Courtney A. Hammons. As you just heard, he was at the Miss Universe pageant this past weekend. Michael, we know you're always talking about the veterans. What would you like to say to Dr. Hammons this morning?
Wow, Dr. Hammond, first of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your accomplishments and also thank you for being a guest here on the Hair Radio Morning Show with Harry Hines.
Awesome.
Now, my question is this, real quick question. One thing that I've noticed that in the fashion world, they sort of mix in with the military world as far as, you know, uniforms, the colors, the camouflage and all that. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, good question.
That's a great question. And I'm going to come from a different angle because I'm a little biased because I'm an Army brat. So, I was raised in Berlin for several years as a child.
Oh, wow.
So my approach to the question is a little bit different, and I'm from Columbus, Georgia, which is a military town, Fort Benning. So
yes, it is.
What I love, I think, honestly, when you think of any military branch, I think it represents strength. I think it represents courage. And so to infuse that into fashion is just a real common denominator for me because it takes strength and courage to wear a lot of things. And really it takes armor because sometimes people are wearing things for protection and they're wearing these things because it is their armor to go out. And when we think of fashion, it goes beyond just what you're wearing from a vanity perspective. It can even go into a trash man. It can go to a mailman. It can go into a janitor. All these are primary roles in any industry, but they're still wearing clothes, right? And so these things are, whether it's a uniform or whether it's a black suit, the common denominator, and I keep saying the word thread, with any industry or even branch of the military, I think it adds an element of personality. So now what we're finding, especially with military jackets, it's funny because I have a friend here in Atlanta that has a brand called His. And he puts a lot of his brand insignia on military jackets. I love going, here we go, to Goodwill, Salvation Army, other secondhand stores, getting some of the vintage Army jackets and pants and infusing that with some of my couture pieces. Why? It's
wow.
Because I think another element of conversation. I think it has another level of texture. And people recognize that whether they have been in the Army, Navy, or whatever have you. And the quality of those items are far better than they are now. So I even go to an Army surplus store here in Atlanta and other cities I purposely go to, and I get vintage, trench coats or even pants or gloves.
Nice.
Wow.
Wow, 30s,
great.
40s, 50s.
Let me just jump on in. Dr. Hammons, I want to say, because we're about to close it down, we got to switch over to Michael. Michael, we're sending you off. You'll be on in about 3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Dr. Hammons, I got to say, you are literally you're just doing big things. And
yes,
we love having you here. We don't have you here often enough, so we want to get you back here a lot more often. Okay.
It's our year to make it happen. There,
okay, because there are no words. I appreciate what you're doing. You're very smart, you're very wise, and you're doing a great job. And
yes,
needless to say, just keep on what you're doing. I don't have to tell you, sir, You got it together. Dr. Courtney A. Hammond. Now, Dr. Courtney, what's next for you real quick? We have about 30 seconds. Can you tell us what's next for you?
Well, what's immediate is the next Fireside Chat here in Atlanta. So if anybody is here on February 2nd, which is the start of Black History Month, we are going to do 50 Years of Hip-Hop Fashion Part 2. And then stay tuned because we have a round of stories that are going to be hitting online, upscale platform with some wonderful trendsetters, image makers, and tastemakers in fashion. So
nice.
Stay tuned. Awesome. Watch out.
I love it. UpscaleMagazine.com is their website. UpscaleMagazine.com is the website to go to. UpscaleMagazineRadio.com. And, of course, the Hair Radio Morning Show weekdays, and we will keep you informed at our Hair Radio Online community. Dr. Hammond, outstanding job, as always,
yes,
when you come
so
to
much.
Town. Yes, right here on our show at Hair Radio. We just appreciate you. So, listen, thank you so much. And, let's take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we've got Michael and the Vet Talk Radio Show. Stay with us. Thanks again, Dr. Hammond.
Join the Hair Radio online community. It's free to be a member. It's social media for the hair and beauty industry. Great space for entrepreneurs to meet new customers, network with new friends, upload pictures, make, like, read, and share posts about hair, beauty, and business, and more. Go to HRmember.com to sign up. Up now, live. It's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
These are the top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim.
That's right, Michael Hopkins, and there are 40 of these terms, and we're going to count down from number 40 to 35. Just five today we're covering on this episode. Let's get started. Michael, what do you have for us?
Well, you know, Carrie, the first one is called clear and unmistakable evidence.
Okay, so you're saying at number 40.
Number 40. Right. Clear and unmistakable evidence. And what that basically means is this. In VA terms, it's called a Q claim. Because, you know, at VA, they have to shorten it. But reality is this. The VA made a mistake. They made a mistake. When you filed your claim, there was some evidence that they overlooked. And it's real easy for them to overlook evidence. You know, a perfect example would be you filed for tinnitus, that's the ringing in the ear. In the process of you getting an examination, the examiner clearly said in his notes that you had tinnitus and it is service connected. In other words, it happened while you were on active duty. The VA and what the VA claim section did, they focused in on your claim for hearing loss instead of hearing loss, they should have focused in on your tinnitus, but they didn't do that. So what they decided, that is the claim section, decided that you're not service connected for hearing loss. And what they were supposed to do, even though you weren't rated for hearing loss, what they were supposed to do, Carrie, they were supposed to focus in on your tinnitus, and you were supposed to get rated for your tinnitus. But they didn't do that.
Wow.
Right.
Well,
isn't that something?
Problem.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Wow.
Clear and unmistakable evidence. They had the evidence right there in front of them, and all they had to do was make a sound decision about your tinnitus and grant it to you. That's what they were supposed to do. And a lot of veterans don't know about that, about Q claims. They think it's difficult, and it's not.
Okay, Beth. Wow. Michael, very good. Okay, way to start. And what's at number 39?
Now, at number 39, Carrie, you have, it's called a presumption of soundness. And I know that sounds kind of, my goodness, what does that mean? And it's very simple.
Yeah. Presumption of soundness.
Presumption of soundness. And it's a very simple term. What it means when we, as before we're sworn in as military people, we go in what they call it at 100%. In other words, your body, your mind, everything is working correctly on you as a potential service member. And you're tested and retested and re-retested and all that. So when you go in, you raise your right hand, you get sworn in, it is presumed that there's nothing wrong with you. You don't have any, there's nothing wrong with you. So that's what presumptive of soundness is. If there was something wrong with you, it would show up during your examinations, your physicals and mental health and all that. It would show up. That's what presumptive of soundness is.
Presumptive. Okay, that's a very good point. That's 39. So that's if nothing is wrong when you go in to start your career in the military. Okay,
and that's
presumptive of soundness. Good term.
Now, number 38, and it kind of goes along with number 39, but it's a whole different thing. Number 38 is called a pre-existing condition. Now, Carrie, where have we heard that word before, pre-existing condition? We've heard that word before in medical terms. We hear it all the time with insurance companies when they say, they're either going to pay if you have a pre-existing condition or they're not going to pay. Well, in the military world, it's not so much insurance, but in the military world, when you have a pre-existing condition, that basically means before you rose your right hand, you got sworn in, you went off to basic training, and you served your country, it was already known that you have some kind of condition, some type of medical condition. It's already known. It's documented. You see, Carrie Hines, that is the number one thing. Actually, when you're filing for claims, that's the number one thing. If you had a pre-existing condition. In other words, before you went in, the organization knew, it could be whatever military organization, they knew you had an issue. It could be a physical issue. They knew when you were in high school, you played football, and you blew your knee out, say in your junior or senior year. And your knee healed, but it never really healed correctly. You can function with it, but it never really healed correctly. They accepted you into the military. After you got in the military, guess what happened? You start having issues with your knee. You could still function, work, but you still had issues with your knee. And in time, your condition with your knee got exacerbated by military service. That's the fancy term that they use. Basically, it means, yeah, it's not looking too good for your knee. And
right, exactly. Made worse, really. Wow.
Yeah, it's made worse. And as time went on, you went on sick call. Once again, Carrie, that's the key to a pre-existing condition.
You had to have gone on sick calls, doctors, et cetera, while you were in the military with this pre-existing condition. So key to your claim. If it's documented and then when you get out of the military, you still have the same issue that you had when you were in the military, only it got worse. Now when you're filing for compensation, you have a paper trail from the time you went in to the time you got out. You got a paper trail now. That's how a pre-existing condition works. And even if the claim section, the VA claim section, tried to deny, and they said, well, you came in the military and you already had this condition.
That's what I was thinking, Michael. I really was.
Right.
Doesn't that just set it up for you to be potentially denied later for something that could be,
it
you know,
does, but guess what?
Connected?
But
that?
Guess what, Kerry Hines?
What's that, Michael?
In that denial letter, they just admitted that you had a pre-existing condition, and that's part of the rules and regulations that they go by, that if a service member, an ex-service member had a pre-existing condition, they have to take that into consideration when that service member is filing for compensation. They knew. The government knew you had an issue. So now you have to get compensated because they allowed you to come into the military with an issue.
Uh-huh.
A lot of veterans don't know that, Harry.
The smoking gun, so to speak. Wow.
Right. And a lot of veterans don't know that. They get a letter from from the VA, the claim section, and it says, well, you came in and you already had the condition before you came in the military. So therefore, we're going to deny, say, for example, your flat feet, your feet issues, because you had this before you came in the military. Well, they just gave you medical evidence because they found out somewhere in your medical records that you had this condition. That's what they're telling you. And once they tell you that, Kerry Hines, guess what?
What?
They have to compensate you.
Amazing. So this is why I find this really very helpful. Michael, again, for folks who are just joining us, let's just bring everybody up to speed. Today's show is all about the top terms. Every veteran should know when filing a claim. And, Michael, you mentioned that there are about 40, that's about 40 top terms. And today you're only covering 5. So you're going down from number 40 to number 35. And, Michael, these are surprising. These are surprising. So good terms for you guys to know. Amazing. So, Michael, what's next?
Now, number 37, Kerry, we're talking about service treatment records. And I know that, once again, that's another, it seems like, what does that mean? Well, you see, as military people, we go to the hospital, too, just like civilians. We go on sick call or you know, different branches have different terms for it. But it all means the same thing. Something happened to you while you were at work or before you got to work or you could have even been on leisure time. But as long as you were active duty and something happened to you and you went to sick call or you went to the doctor, it goes into your medical records. And basically that's what service treatment records are. They're your medical records from active duty.
Wow.
And it's so very important when you're filing for compensation, those medical records are like gold if you have them because they contain all kinds of information about what happened to you, the individual service member, when you were active duty because that's part of what the VA claim section is going to base your compensation on.
That is the first question that they always ask, Carrie. Did
wow.
it happen
now,
on active
difficult?
Duty?
Yes, and is it difficult for the veterans to make to obtain their service treatment records or to keep track of it? Is it a challenge? What can we add? What can we clarify today?
Well, yes, it is, Carrie. It is a challenge because typically most veterans do not have a copy or their original service treatment records, especially the older veterans. A lot of the veterans came in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, a lot of veterans do not have either a copy or the actual original service treatment records. And it makes it difficult to file for compensation. I didn't say it was impossible, Carrie Hines. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
Well,
because
that's what you advise them to do. What should they do if they find themselves in a situation?
Now, what they can do as a former service member, there are options. One of the options is the Archives of the United States Government. That's one of the options. You can actually, there's a form called a Standard Form 180. You can go online.
Standard.
You can actually print it out. Yep, a Standard Form 180. That's what it's called. And on that Standard Form 180, when a veteran fills it out, it asks many questions, one of which it basically asks you if you're looking for your service treatment records, a copy of it. And it also shows you where to go find it, where to send this form. Some people do the form online and they actually send it directly to the archives of the United States government. And then the government goes into action and they attempt to locate your records. Sometimes it takes anywhere from 3 months to a year to locate your records. That's if they can locate them, Carrie Hines. If.
Oh, my.
That's a very big, because sometimes what has happened, some people's records have actually been destroyed.
Mm. Wow.
There was a fire in St. Louis, Missouri, and in St. Louis where a lot of the records were stored. And unfortunately, a lot of those records got destroyed.
Now, Michael, I would imagine they would notify the veteran and let them know what the issue was at.
Unfortunately, Carrie, regrettably and unfortunately, if you don't ask for your records, the government, unfortunately, may not tell you that your records were destroyed. They won't do like a mass mailing, anything like that. Unfortunately, it's not what they did. Until a veteran asked for their records, they had no idea that, according to the government, you didn't have any
records. That may not even exist anymore.
Right.
Wow.
Right. They may not exist anymore.
Well, Michael, I hope that you can do a show on that down the road. A little bit more detail on that. That's really a big story right there. So what's at number 36, Michael Hopkins? Service treatment records number 37. What's
right.
at number 36?
Number 36, Carrie, is service-connected condition.
Well, these are some mouthful terms.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a mouthful term. But the thing of it, they're so important. So many people file for compensation, Carrie, but they don't have a grasp on the terms that we're going over here. And, you know, as you know, it's an ongoing series.
and they don't have a grasp. And having a grasp on these terms will help you file for compensation. It will help you.
Absolutely.
Because you'll understand.
That's why I so appreciate this series. Yes.
Now,
so number six, what exactly is service-connected condition?
Basically what it is this, in a nutshell. It happened to you, the individual veteran, while you were in service to this country. You were on active duty, and it happened to you. It can range from you hurt your knee, you had a traumatic brain injury, you had nerve problems, headaches. It could be just about anything that you can think of happened to you while you're on active duty. Broken bones. You got hit by an automobile. You got hit by a vehicle. You fell out of a vehicle. You broke your leg. I mean, it's so many different things can happen to a veteran while they were in service of this great country that we live in.
Yeah. And it does kind of sound like it kind of sounds like what it means, the title, service-connected condition, yeah. Wow.
And you have to, one of the things, Carrie, that I want,
yeah,
you know, our fans out here to be aware of when it comes to this service-connected condition.
Yes.
Sometimes it may not be in your service treatment records that something happened to you. It may not be there. A lot of times, as service members, we're out doing things. We're out and about. Perfect example. You're out and about. You're driving your car, and you get in an accident. And you're taken to a civilian hospital. You wind up, you're in a civilian hospital, the civilian hospital treats you, and those medical records from the civilian hospital never make it into your service treatment record. It somehow it just never made it there, but you got treated at a civilian hospital. Well, guess what, Carrie Hines?
What? I'm wondering, what do you do?
It's still service-connected. As long as you have those medical records from the civilian hospital that shows that something happened to you, and it's proven, you were in an accident. You went to a civilian hospital. Case in point, we had one of our veteran brothers, and this is exactly what happened to him. Believe it or not, Carrie, he actually found pictures of himself about almost 50 years ago coming out of a hospital.
Wow.
With, if I remember correctly, his arm was broken. They showed his arm in a sling, and it had his name.
Well, he had ultimate proof.
right. He had, that is just ultimate proof that it happened to you.
Yeah.
Ultimate proof.
So keep
service-connected condition.
Everything.
It's everything. It is so important, and it doesn't matter how you prove it. Pictures, what's that old saying, Carrie? Pictures of worth a thousand words?
A thousand words, yes, absolutely.
And here, the pictures,
I think even
articles,
more than that.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, pictures, articles. These are the things that even if you don't have the paperwork that shows you're service-connected, your condition is service-connected, you have other things. So very important. Very
Michael,
important.
I think this is a absolutely service-connected condition, number 36. Well, Michael, I know you want to get to number 35 today on this countdown. That'll be our closeout number for today. And then on the next episode, you'll be counting down from number 35 to number 30. So I am super, super excited.
So today, Michael, what was that number 40?
Number 40 was clear and unmistakable evidence, better known as a Q claim. Now, number 39 was the presumptive of soundness. Number 38, pre-existing condition.
Yes.
Number 37, service treatment records. Number 36, service-connected condition.
And before you get to number 35, Michael, I want to remind the veterans, please, please, if you have not done so, don't forget, you'll be able to hear this episode along with so much other, so many other episodes and so much other information at HAIRadio.com. Again, that's HAIRadio.com. On the internet, we have our very own Michael Hopkins, who literally runs this. It's the section, your own group page for the Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael. I'm so excited. You have so many things there. It's free to be a member. So simply go to www.hairadio.com and even simpler, hrmember.com. Either of those will take you right there. Sign up. It's free. Michael, what's at number 35 today?
Gary, number 35 is claims and pension contractors.
Hold it. Claims and pension
contractors.
Contractors. Okay. Claims and pension contractors. Okay. Now, what does that mean?
Wow.
Number 35, Michael.
Number 35, Carrie. Basically, it means this, in a nutshell. As veterans, once we file a claim, the VA says, okay, this, it looks like you did have an issue, but we need you to go to an examination. Long, long time ago, Carrie, when it wasn't this influx of veterans, most veterans would go to the VA hospital. We go in the healthcare system, and we would get an examination by a VA doctor, who would either say, yes, it's service-connected, or it's not. What has happened now over the past years, it's been so many veterans that the government decided to contract out to private doctors, nurse practitioners, mental health professionals, et cetera. They contracted out to these professionals to give their professional opinion. Therefore, they're contracted to the government to give their professional opinion on your claim. All the information about your particular claim is uploaded to these medical professionals. And several methods in this case, one of which you, the individual veteran, have to show up physically to what we call a CNP examination or a claims and pension examination. And the contractor, whatever it is, they examine you. It may be a physical examination to determine if you have arthritis or it could be, which is very popular these days, it could be a telehealth examination where you do telehealth, where you and the person look at each other and you talk about your issue to the contractor.
Through an electronic, like a,
yeah, through electronic
computer or
means.
Telephone or, yeah.
Right.
Electronically. Wow.
And last but not least, it could be a records review. That's another option.
Review.
Right. Basically, the government, i.e. the claims section, sends the contractor all your medical evidence that you sent in and they have and they've reviewed. The thing that they need, Carrie, in all three of these scenarios, they need one thing. They need a medical opinion.
A medical opinion.
Medical opinion. It's either yes or no. that this is more than likely than not, or at least as likely than not, that this is service connected. This is what the government asks for them to do. And wow, they write a medical opinion. And then the government, i.e. the VA claim section, they'll go by that medical opinion to either award you your compensation or deny you your compensation. That's what the claims and pension contractors do.
Well, Michael, I have to say, with everything that you bring to the show, with everything for veterans, help them on filing claims, I think this was quite important today, where you covered some of the top terms that every veteran should know when filing a claim. And this is a big, big series. There are about 40 different terms, and today you covered number 40 through number 35. So I'm Carrie Hines. And Michael, I just want to say what you say every episode to all the veterans. What is it you'd like to say today?
Gary, it's all about the vets, their families, the advocates for the vets. It's all about them.
As always, we'll see you back here the next time on the next Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines with Michael Hopkins.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution. Smooth Black Ink. Stimulate.